Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Tech Can't Save Us. As usual, I'm one of your hosts, William Gadsby Pete.
And I'm Paul David. And before we get into today's episode, if you're listening via Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please do share a rating with us. We're grateful for your support, and this lets us know that we're continuing to reach the right crowd and to build the Tech Can't Save Us community. So thank you in advance.
This is going to be a special Christmas-themed podcast and going to be a bit of a change from our usual subject matter. Obviously, this podcast is all about tech, but myself and Paul do run an advertising agency, so we thought it would be fun to do a bit of a review of top Christmas ads this year, talk about what we like, what we don't like, how they could be improved, and just generally, yeah, basically nerd out on some advertising stuff on with regards to Christmas ads. And then after that, we'll talk a little bit about like some of the different tech that we're seeing coming into advertising, you know, stuff like CGI, VR, AR, AI, how that might shape sort of Christmas ads of the future. But to be totally honest with you, this is mainly going to be two nerds just having fun, ripping the shit out of people's script writing and visuals. So we've picked out six of our favorite Christmas ads and all trying to look at different sort of styles and approaches. So to kick us off, we're going to look at PETA, the charity against animal cruelty. What does PETA stand for? Do you know?
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
There we go. Straight in. And the advert is titled Kill the Tradition, Not the Turkey. So to give our users a quick summary of what happens in this ad, it's quite brutal. So it's like they really play with your traditional Christmas advert. So you have this turkey doing an adaptation of Deck the Halls, where it's singing Deck the Halls, but it's changed all of the lyrics. You think it's a fun Christmas ad, and then right at the end, this incredibly dark turkey farmer grabs the turkey by the neck, drags them off to a slaughterhouse, and the last thing you see is the turkey just about to be killed and turned into Christmas dinner. So yeah, I mean, Paul, like, what did you think of this ad? How did this land?
Well, I mean, well played, Peter, well played. It sort of reminds me, there's this like infamous Christmas ad from the States specifically for the Pennsylvania lottery, where like the beginning of this ad starts out and it's a person walking through kind of a festive Christmassy neighborhood and somewhere in Pennsylvania, and they're like chatting with all the people, and that's kind of how the ad begins. And I like that turn where they sort of lull you into, oh, this is a Christmas ad, and then the turn towards, okay, this is really dark. I love the cartoon nature, like the way that they, in an interesting way, they like kind of softened it with the cartoon action. I think it was really interesting to kind of see, you know, them take this approach and leverage like really, I think, innovative cartoonage technology, I guess, and then just turn a corner on people and really hit them over the head with something.
Yeah, definitely an advert designed to make you feel uncomfortable on purpose. Thought a few things were quite interesting about it. One, the voice actress is also in Chicken Run. I think she's in Chicken Run, so that's quite a nice alignment. She's vegan and an activist. And yeah, it's just really playing with form. And what's quite smart about it is like, you don't realize how much of your response to content is embedded in subconscious cues. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as you see a fun, happy, animated turkey singing, you're like, oh, cool, I'm in for a fun Christmas ad. Yeah. And then it just takes a real sharp turn and it snaps you out of it. Shakespeare used to do it all the time with his plays. You'd be like, oh, this is a fun comedy. And then you're like, oh shit, they just killed the main character and everyone's dead. Like, I'd been cued as the audience to think this was gonna be a fun romp, and suddenly I'm in the middle of a bloodbath. It's really smart. Not enjoyable, but I thought ultimately a very successful Christmas advert.
Yeah, I appreciate too, like, the campaign itself will include like shorter versions of the ad across different social media channels that PETA controls, and then, you know, some influencer engagement and PR activation. So I think we're seeing ads that are being created, you know, they're traditional commercials, but then they're being disaggregated and created into more diffuse channels and pushed out. I think that's a really smart strategy just to get more mileage out of the content.
Yeah, House 337, who are the agency behind it, spoke about how it was sort of trying to snap people out of this kind of, we sleepwalk into ordering turkey. Mm. Like, it's just a stupid old tradition, especially in the UK. We don't really eat turkey in any other situation. And it's just like, why are you doing that? It's just because it's the done thing. Like, just go vegan for Christmas. It's better for the planet. It's better for animal cruelty. So it's smart, again, playing with the form. It kind of, you sleepwalk into thinking this is a normal Christmas ad, and then it gets snapped out. And the whole point is trying to get people to stop sleepwalking into ordering turkey just because it's the done thing. So yeah, smart, works on many levels. Moving us on to our next advert, which is the John Lewis Snapper ad. Paul, do you want to give us a quick summary of the John Lewis Snapper ad?
Classic John Lewis, you know, in terms of like tugging on your heartstrings, but also adding a little bit of comedy. And, you know, you have the child that has the little plant that grows and it takes on a life of its own and almost eats the dog, for example. And then the child continues to play with the snapper, and the mom's a bit concerned. The family comes downstairs in the middle of the night. The snapper has grown beyond its normal pail until the thing ultimately takes fully on a life of its own and is out in the yard and is about to kind of eat the family, eat the kid, and then, you know, ends up spitting out presents for the kids in true John Lewis fashions right into their hands in the form of earplugs for one of the kids and different video games, things like that, followed by confetti.
Yeah, so it's like a Venus flytrap that the kids plants, and then it kind of becomes a bit of a Little Shop of Horrors situation, but like all cute and festive. I got quite a spicy reaction to this one.
Bring it.
Watching this advert for me was like watching the fifth album of one of your favorite bands, where they're just trading off of past glories.
Yeah.
The John Lewis has become so, it's the John Lewis Christmas ad. It's a cultural moment in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just relying on that. All of their other ads in the past have had like really clear pull on the heartstrings. So like the most famous one that kind of really kicked it off was the kid that you thought was losing his shit ready for Christmas because he wanted to open all his presents, and then he actually gets to Christmas Day and it turns out he couldn't wait to give the presents to his family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about the gift of giving. The other one was like the really lonely old people who seemed like they were on the moon, and it was all about raising awareness for how lonely old people quite often are in the festive period. There's like a real emotional through line, whereas this one was like just, I didn't get it. It just seemed like it was like, oh, look, we don't have a Christmas tree, have a giant Venus flytrap. And then, oh, by the way, we sell this cuddly snapper on kids' pajamas and as a toy. It felt like they've just fallen in love with themselves and are just like, we are able to release anything and you're going to buy the product. I was disappointed.
Yeah. So first of all, respect the hallowed nature of John Lewis ads in the UK. I mean, and can hear that in your take here. But also to productize like both the song, even though they say the profits are going towards charities like Action for Children, for example, it's this obscure Italian electro pop artist, Le Feste Antonacci, to do that and then also to say, okay, you can actually buy the products in the advert, I think is a really interesting move. And it's perhaps indicative of this change that they've had, where we're working with Adam and Eve for about 14 years, and that's when they churned out all this like classic John Lewis-ness in terms of their ads. And now they have this new partnership with Saatchi & Saatchi. And unfortunately, the critics have panned it and claimed that the advert, as you said, is a bit disconnected from the usual messaging. So I think that's interesting in terms of, from like a brand identity, brand equity perspective of like, hey, you've spent, you know, the better part of almost two decades like building this brand identity, and people are waiting for this type of ad, a specific type of ad, and you've nailed it for the most part. And then all of a sudden you make this pretty drastic change, and it reeks a little bit of excess in terms of, oh, people are going to buy whatever we want, as you said. So questionable move on John Lewis's part here. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's a bit of a change of direction, because in the past they'd do this big advert, obviously be loosely tied to John Lewis, but it would basically just be like, look, we're fucking John Lewis, you know who we are, we've done this really cool ad, that's what we're all going to have your water cooler moment, and then you're going to come order from us. This was far more like in a traditional Argos, Sainsbury's sort of approach of, hey, we've done this advert and we have put so much merch into it. I actually quite like some of these multi-channel tactics they've put around it, but it is very un-John Lewis. So, you know, they've got this, you can buy the kids' toys, you can buy the pajamas, the song track is being released in the charts and it's going to be for charity, all the proceeds go to charity, Action for Children, all very nice. They've done a giant 5 meter tall snapper is going to be part of the Christmas lights at Kew Gardens.
Oh, I saw that. I was there the other day. I saw that before I had seen the ad, and I didn't realize what the hell I was looking at. And then I saw the ad and I was like, oh my God, that thing is going to haunt my dreams. Because you walk up to a Kew Gardens and you're like, what the hell is this? Okay, it's like kind of cute. It's loosely red and green. And then obviously you see the ad a bit later, and maybe vice versa for most people. But yeah, it was interesting to see the art being installed like out in the real world and stuff like that, and then come back to the ad. So,
and I don't have a problem with that, but you have to nail the ad first.
Yeah.
And then you get to do all the other stuff around it. And I feel like that's what they missed. And yeah, I mean, like, not throwing any shade, it's certainly noticeable the drop in quality from going from Adam and Eve to Saatchi & Saatchi. Maybe it'd take them a few years to really nail the formula, but like, it, I would say that's a pretty big misstep.
And it tracks too with like what we're seeing with John Lewis more broadly in terms of like their business model being called into question. The partnership bonuses, which they're famous for, are not being paid as they have been in the past. We know the consumer shopping behavior, as we reported on in our last episode about Black Friday and Cyber Monday, is moving a bit more digital, and the overall department store model has become a bit antiquated. So you wonder, obviously, if it's connected, if they're seeing the writing on the wall and saying, hey, we need a different strategy here in terms of, you know, our brand identity and where we take things.
That's exactly what it felt like. It just felt like being slightly out of step, just slightly out of touch, just a little bit 2-3 years late to the party.
Yeah, over to Argos. So,
Argos.
Sorry. There we go.
Argos.
Okay.
Leave it in.
Got it. Over the Argos ad. So this ad features two toys, Connie and Trevor. They were featured in last year's Christmas campaign and the good Gen Zers that I believe they're meant to be in doll form. They're creating an extravagant video for social media only for it to be not recorded. And then the advert itself also, to the point of productization in your ads, features popular Christmas gadgets and decorations. I found that to be a little bit tacky, a little bit much, to be like, hey, we're gonna make this ad and like we're gonna not so implicitly feature all of the different gadgets and decorations that you can buy in our store in the ad. They use CGI to create and animate the characters, and the advert features products from Shark to Sonos, both big brands that are available at Argos. I wonder if those brands paid top dollar to be featured in an ad like this. And then in terms of distribution, the campaign is going to run across video, press, social, online, radio, PR, alongside a suite of TikTok films that will feature the characters. Heavy on the characters here.
Yeah, I think this is like the cookie cutter search up sort of Christmas ad in the diary, and you'll get this. I don't mean like that too offensively. Like, it's fine. Like, it's not a terrible advert, but right. It's just so, you know, cute characters, cliched pop culture references, and a cheesy ass joke. I think they do get that their target audience with Argos is mums and dads, and like that lowest common denominator humor is kind of the stuff that works. Mm-hmm. The only bit of this that I think I like, and we'll talk about a couple of brands who've done this slightly better in a moment, is that attempt to create a universe. You get the core advert of a minute, those are actually 30 seconds long for this one, and then you get little specialist TikToks of each character that you grow as characters, you learn more about them. You know, Duolingo have done this better than anyone. Every one of their little owls has its own character on TikTok, and it like gives you different advice, and over the years people have become so attached to these personalities, you know, they actually kind of feel like they know them. Mm-hmm. So I like that approach, and I like that idea. It's just, yeah, it's quite cliched, and it's way, way heavy on the sales and retail focus. It's such clear product placement. It just misses the mark a little.
Yeah, not my favorite. Deliveroo ad's my favorite.
Deliveroo ad's your favorite? Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. I think the Deliveroo one, I appreciated, like, first of all, the tagline, the rules are there are no rules. Like, that just speaks to the American in me, I guess, in terms of like, let's just shoe convention to some extent. And I thought that was an interesting way to kind of like celebrate the different ways different groups and cultures are like breaking convention, or how you can just use an app like Deliveroo to sort of have a different holiday experience, you know? And like, I appreciated that. And I think it rings as like empowering to the consumer, to like the different ways, especially you think about people who have a different experience of the holidays. Maybe their family's fractured, or they're away from their family, or culturally, you know, Christmas in the traditional like Judeo-Christian context doesn't speak to them. Deliveroo is empowering them to have a different experience basically delivered to their door. So I thought this was visually very stunning. I think maybe, you know, to some extent a bit, again, heavy on the product placement, but like when your product is food, I think that's okay.
This advert was essentially just like, here's traditional stuff and then here's untraditional stuff. It's like, fuck it, have Cantonese feast for Christmas Eve. Yeah. Like, you know, why don't you just get ramen on Boxing Day because you can't be asked to cook. Mm-hmm. So it tagged quite nicely and with the sort of Christmas traditions, but then offered you an alternative. And one of the things that I think, to your point, it does very well is, how do you make a fast food delivery app cool and rebellious and interesting? Like, you know, that's a very difficult thing to do. It's like, oh, do you want to be a rule breaker? Mm-hmm. Why don't you order some delicious ramen on Boxing Day? And you're like, yeah, fuck it. It does a very good job of setting up a concept and then just delivering the hell out of it. If you're going to do product placement, you have to figure out a narrative device to frame it so it doesn't feel so crap and jerry-rigged in. And like, hey, here's all the crazy things you could order over Christmas and to break tradition and have a bit of fun. And then here's 30 seconds of food porn is just a really strong, simple formula that 100% works. And they did some very cool real live video mixed with really cool graphics to slide between scenes. So yeah, overall, just smart concept, simple, focus on the food and then cool animation to make it visually interesting, yeah, it ticks all the boxes.
Yeah, and I appreciate that too, that the ad, you know, the campaign itself like draws on research from Deliveroo's actual customers and what they do for their festive experiences, using insights from social listening, order data, and general customer research. Like, that's awesome. You know what I mean? To sort of say like, hey, we have these interesting insights and findings about our audience. This will speak to them. We know this will speak to them. Let's construct an ad from the ground up of the data. I think that's a great move by some of the creative agencies involved here. Pablo was one. Studio Orca was another. Jungle Studios, Rascal, just to give a couple shout outs. Stink was another one.
Yeah, 100%. And it is tapping into like that real emotional sort of like, we all have memories of like having a curry or fish and chips with our family around the Christmas time because someone couldn't, like, because you just couldn't be asked to cook that day. So yeah, I think it's a nice combination of like, hey, be a rule breaker, but also these are all things that you're familiar with and have done 1,000 times and use Deliveroo to do them. So yeah, smart on many levels and definitely worked for me.
Well done, Deliveroo. I will order from you this week.
Regardless yeah. Of yeah, almost.
What this ad does. Sorry.
Moving us on to Amazon's Joyride advert. And it's interesting because this advert felt more John Lewis than the John Lewis advert did. They more nailed it. And that's why I was so disappointed by the John Lewis ad, is they almost created this genre and then they've become a sort of like pastiche of themselves. But yeah, so this advert, you've got three elderly ladies sitting on a bench, watching this big snow-covered hill, watching kids slide down it. And then you see one of the older women order on a bunch of stuff on Amazon. And then she presents to the other three ladies a butt protector, a helmet, and then some sleds. And they go and start sledding down this hill along with all the kids. You see them enjoying themselves as like 80-year-old women. And then it cuts to them as sort of like being 8 or 9 years old and having the same experience. It's all just very nice, warm and fuzzy. And then at the end, it's just like, yeah, Amazon for the things that you want. Very, very good example of focusing on the why rather than the what. Like, hey, I'm going to order a butt protector for a sled. Very, very boring. I'm going to order it as an 80-year-old woman so me and my two best friends of 70 years can reconnect with our inner child. Very, very good. Very, very smart. Excellent writing.
Yeah, I mean, especially around the holidays, like, and you said it, like connecting with your inner child, focusing on the pure emotion of like, most folks remember those feelings of being innocent and pure and enjoying things as a child, especially around Christmas, that toy that you really wanted that you got, or just going out to enjoy it with your friends, for example, and to like, key in on that is a brilliant, I think, strategy for marketers at an emotional level. Just say, hey, we're going to focus on the thing that is the most ubiquitous, most common experience of Christmas and build an ad out of it. And it's not about the tech, it's not about the features, it's not about, you know, delivery times and stuff like that. It's about tech sort of facilitating that for you. But let's focus on that thing that it facilitates, not the tech itself.
Greatest compliment I can give them is that I don't like Amazon as a company, and I watched it and I was like, yeah, good. Like, I feel more positive about Amazon, and it's reminded me of times that I've needed things quickly or done spontaneous things through Amazon. Made me feel more warm about a brand that I ultimately do disagree with on many levels.
Yeah.
Taking us over to our final advert, which was my favorite one, which was the Asda's Make This Christmas Incredibuble. Michael Bublé is the sort of heart and soul of this advert, as you might have realized by the title. And it's the whole concept is that like Michael Bublé is now their kind of head of product quality control at Asda for Christmas. Starts off, you see him at his desk with his gold-plated chief quality officer sign. Then it just follows him as he sort of goes around the store, approving different product ranges, giving feedback on cheese, mince pies, etc. And it has 2 or 3 pretty solid gags written in. And then it finishes with Michael Bublé singing Walking in a Winter Wonderland with an Asda choir. So just, yeah, nice, simple, tight.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize this was Taika Waititi, who is just genius. I mean, comedic genius. So yeah, kudos to that. I saw this actually just by happenstance before we put this episode together, just watching TV, and really loved it. I love the multi-channel activation that they did out of this too. And, you know, in November, they installed a 20-foot Christmas tree in King's Cross Station, decorated with over 300 sparkling Michael Bublé powered bulbs, invited customers to step up to the stage and give the tree their best Bublé to watch it dance and dazzle with light. I think that's brilliant. Like, if you can connect the online or, you know, TV to offline in person, like, well played, and in the middle of a place like King's Cross Station where people are making their transits to and from seeing family and things like that for their holiday travels, I think is even more brilliant. But yeah, this is a good one. And then obviously associating with someone who's famous for crooning amazing holiday tunes that sort of make you feel warm and fuzzy, I think is another brilliant move on their part. So yeah, well done, Asda.
It's not just putting a celebrity for celebrity's sake. Mm-hmm, it's knowing which celebrity to pick, Michael Bublé is immediately makes you think of Christmas outside of any Christmas advert. You hear his music and you think, well, it must be November or December.
Totally.
And then two, knowing what to do with him. So we've not covered it in this one, but the Marks and Spencers ad has like five or six celebrities in it, but it's just, hey, look, it's Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's other famous person from the TV.
Yeah.
They don't really use them. Whereas like to get Michael Bublé in, then have him there as like Mr. Christmas and have a, and commit the money to get a director like Taika Waititi who knows what to do with him, you just, it felt so much more well thought out, structured, and like a true piece of smart content rather than just like, oh, hey, look, we got Michael Bublé and buy some fucking fish. And they had a good narrative framing device that then walked through a number of their product lines in a way that did not feel like overly salesy or crappy. It's like, hey, he's checking out three different types of chipolata. He makes a joke about one of them and then he eats one. It's like Parmesan and Prosciutto chipolata. It looks incredible. You look at it, it's the a new one they've released this year and you're like, well, yeah, I'd eat the hell out of some prosciutto and Parmesan and pigs in blankets. Same with the cheese, same with the desserts. Like, it, you know, it's just, it made you hungry and also introduced you to three or four product lines that they've released just for this Christmas in a smart way.
Yeah, smooth introduction of the product here compared to some of the other ads we've seen. Also, I want to appreciate as to for how diverse this ad is. Like, the people in it, they're all shapes and sizes. There's, you know, a person with who occupies a wheelchair in this ad. Like, how often do you see someone in a wheelchair in ads, you know, unfortunately? Also, they honed in, I think, on workers in a really interesting way. And, like, I think coming out of the pandemic, we've sort of lost all the, you know, whatever, all the love that we had for essential workers and stuff. And you have chefs and, you know, truck drivers and janitors and stuff like that. Making people thankful for the people that support their holiday being what it is, I think is really like a subtle undertone in this ad. So yeah, well done.
Yeah, I think the choir at the end is all just actual Asda workers, like that are singing with him. And final props for this one is knowing how to finish an advert on an uplifting note. A lot of these ads are just like, go to our website, like at the end is like a crappy call to action. This one ends with a swell of one of, you know, Walking in a Winter Wonderland sung by Michael Bublé. Just immediately, if you just heard that, it would probably put you in a good mood, and that's how the advert outros. So excellent work. And then obviously all the benefits of the multi-channel approach they've done, having those folk involved in social media, having Michael Bublé as a brand ambassador for the whole month of November and December. You know, you really get your money's worth for having invested in the right person at the right time and then done a cool concept with them.
Yeah, I think one of the questions that's answered is like the idea that sometimes digital can make us feel disconnected. And I think various ads here can show us that, you know, there are ways to use technology to connect with your audience and really hone in on like the emotional appeal that your product or your, you know, your service has with them, for them, and to communicate a message that maybe there's a slightly better method, but like you've got this spot, you've got this commercial, if you hone in on the right message and you handle it elegantly, like I think Asda did in this example, and I would argue Deliveroo as well, you can do that. So digital can be connective, it can be emotional, it can be human. And I think that's you know, and I think people around the holidays, you know, are looking for that. That's why John Lewis's ads over the years have been so successful, is because it's been a tough year, it's getting darker, it's getting colder, people want a little joy, a little human touch, a little connectivity, and you know, some of these ads deliver that.
Cool. So we are a tech-focused podcast, so we didn't want to just do advert critiques, but just have a quick sort of 5-10 minutes on some of the different tech that is increasingly creating a lot of these ads that we know and love. So the first one and most obvious one is CGI. That's kind of got to the point of prevalence now where it's not even really a something to call out. It's just we all expect to see it. There's a lot of use in the adverts that we covered. Argos, John Lewis, and the Coca-Cola ad, all been heavily edited with CGI. Must admit, I actually thought in that John Lewis had one of the many things I didn't love about it was the CGI wasn't great. Like it was very like this looked like the mid 2000s rather than 2023 CGI. And I do think that with a lot of advertising agencies in particular, CGI is becoming increasingly a problematic choice because every Hollywood film now uses CGI. Famously, all the Marvel movies cannot keep up the supply and the demand. So all of their creative graphic designers who put the CGI together burn out after 6 months and leave because they're just being asked to work like 14-hour days because, you know, every Marvel film now is basically just CGI from start to finish. So supply pool of CGI just is not out there. And so when it comes to ads and stuff, you just can't get, you can't compete with getting a sort of 10 people to work on your advert because they're all getting paid 10 times as much by Marvel to be doing their films. So I think we are seeing like CGI is actually getting worse in most commercials, because before a team of five would dedicate 6 months to creating an ad. That would be all they worked on. Whereas now it's like one guy in a room sweating blood trying to do it in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I think we'll start to actually see fewer adverts using CGI because they just can't afford how much it is, even if you are a big brand. I think one of the reasons that the Asda and Deliveroo ad both worked is they were primarily live action with little CGI touches rather than being fully CGI. The Argos ad as well, fully CGI, looked a bit shitty, like looked like a rip-off Toy Story rather than a properly created universe.
Toggling over to AR, I think some of these are better examples than others of I think innovative uses, but in John Lewis's 2023 festive campaign, there's an AR filter for Meta users, which allows them to bring Snapper, the horrifying Venus flytrap plant, into their homes, as happens in the ad, and so I think that's an interesting one. I think that one doesn't strike me as that amazing. I feel like the kids will play with it for 5-10 minutes and maybe be creeped out by it, or maybe just get bored with it. But I think that to me feels a little bit gimmicky, as some of the case as is the case with some of the filters there. I think the digital advent calendar that John Lewis did is actually more interesting.
Really like that.
One, there's a sustainability angle there. Obviously, there's a joy of having a paper advent calendar and like sort of punching out the days and things like that. But if you can make it digital and reduce the paper usage and maybe even add some extra zest to it. In this case, John Lewis, they're offering exclusive rewards to sort of my JL members throughout December. So I think that's maybe they can scale that up with the digital version potentially, or even personalize it a bit more. So could you personalize rewards you give to your members based on their previous, you know, shopping behavior, things like that? I think that's a really interesting one. And then, yeah, we have this instance of, you know, using augmented reality to create meaningful messages. So I really, really like this NHS blood and transplant ad about basically kids waiting for donations, organ transplant donations, things like that. It was a really powerful campaign. You have the children who are sort of these little handmade dolls. I don't know what the tech is there. I mean, it looked almost like claymation, but it was sort of maybe stop motion. And they're just sitting in waiting rooms across the country, and there's hundreds of them. And the dolls are part of a campaign to promote the conversation around pediatric organ donation and encourage more parents to consider adding their children to the register, which is a big ask, like to have, you know, kids on a register like that. But I think the way that they did it, you know, you just see the image of these kids, and they had a diverse array of kids in different waiting rooms and things like that to really show the breadth, and just you see people walking by them and they're just kind of sitting there. It's like really tugs on your heartstrings, and it doesn't seem like it was a huge budget necessarily, but I think it was really well done.
Yeah, if you're considering doing AR as a brand, and this is across the board, there has to be a reason for it now. The world in which, oh, that's just very cool and that's enough to get engagement, that ship's gone. It was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You have to have done something smart with it. So yeah, there has to be a real message, like the waiting to live. There's a real powerful message there, and it's evocative. Or the digital advent calendar from John Lewis, that's cool, it's interactive, and at the end of the day you interact with it on your wall using AR, and then it gives you a discount that you can use at My John Lewis. That the Snapper AR filter that they use would have been much less shit if there was a game you could play with Snapper.
Right.
And the better your kid did at it, the bigger the discount they got at John Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of stuff that drives engagement and actually makes AR work. You can't just do it because it's cool anymore. It's just a waste of time and money.
Yeah, and I think people like see past that. They see through that. Like, it's if it's not purposeful, it's not personalized, if it's not connected to like why they're engaging with your brand in the first place, then it's just like, all right, this is a gimmick. Yeah. Like, get this out of here.
Hey, use this AR to put a giant snapping plant in the middle of your fucking sitting room. No, like there's no appeal for me.
Yeah.
Even if I had kids, that wouldn't be appealing. Last one on some of the tech used, we couldn't find for the pod any examples of this that were actually live adverts, which is a shame, but it's just one to flag as always AI. We had a look around to see if we could find anyone who had the courage to either create a pure AI script or a pure AI video advert, and no one that we could find on the internet. But it's coming. It's a coming, so get ready for it. There was one cool story about a Leeds-based marketing agency that tried to use AI and ChatGPT to predict the plot of the 2023 John Lewis advert.
That's funny.
Came up with a script for an advert called A Timeless Gift, Celebrating the Magic of Giving. Some might say that they probably should have done that rather than what Saji and Saji put together. But yeah, it's definitely coming, and I think what you probably have seen without anyone you never see it in the finished product, but I would not be surprised if a lot of the agencies we spoke about who created the adverts that we covered used it in the ideation process, used it in the back and forth. We're probably still a way away from it being able to write fully formed scripts and actually create the visuals itself.
Yeah. Thankfully for the writers among us, we still have jobs.
Yeah. But yeah. Thank God.
Well, that was a fun one. Special thanks to all the giant corporations that did ads that we covered today. So, you know, well, I guess PETA isn't really a giant corporation, but shout out, they did a great ad. John Lewis, Argos.
Goose.
Nailed it. Deliveroo, Amazon, and Asda. Well done. And also, yeah, shout out to NHS Blood and Transplant. I go and actually my donation's coming up on December 15th, actually. So try to go quarterly.
Just in time for the Christmas festivities.
Indeed. I'm going to save a life this Christmas. What are you doing? I'm kidding. Thanks for listening to us, you know, just nerd out about marketing and Christmas. Special thanks, as always. Give us a shout at hello@literalhumans.com. Discuss any of your festive season marketing strategies. We'd love to hear from you and share a few of them on our next pod. But yeah, as always, thanks for sharing and listening and subscribing.
Hope you enjoyed the special Christmas edition pod, guys. Very Merry Christmas to you all.